Psalm 24:7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Now, Psalm 24 is a call and response song. So we have one group of voices calling for the gates to be lifted up. And then there is a response. Who is this King of glory? And the answer comes back. The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. So we say again, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. And they ask the question again from inside the gates. Who is this King of glory? And the response, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Would you worship him right now? Oh, Lord God. I give you thanks right now, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. I want to speak to you today on the subject, make room for glory. We are on a corporate quest to see the return of the glory of God. So I want to review, since not everyone has been on every step of the journey. When glory refers to God, it speaks of his manifest mercy, his majesty, his magnificence, and his might. God is all of those things. But when he reveals himself to people so that we can know it and see it, then it is his glory that is revealed to us. Glory is often easier seen than it is explained. The glory of God is seen in creation. The Bible said that the heavens declare the glory of God. When you look up in a starlit sky, when you see the beauty of creation, you see the handiwork of God and the divine design of everything he made, you see the glory of God in creation. Glory was seen in the smoke that covered Mount Sinai. Glory was witnessed on the glowing face of Moses when he came down from a 40-day encounter with God. The glory of God was seen in Israel by a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. The glory of God was seen in a thick cloud that hovered over the tabernacle and in the temple that Solomon built, so much so that the priests could not carry out their normal ministry duties. The Bible tells us that the glory of God was seen in the face of Jesus Christ, and that he appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah, and his face also shone with the glory of God, and Peter, James, and John saw it firsthand. The glory of God was manifested, was demonstrated. I know manifest is kind of a biblical word to those of us in 2019, but it was seen in the early church through mighty signs and wonders, through miraculous deeds. And I want to just pause right here to say that when I preach, I always ask myself a so what question. So what does this have to do with me? So what does this have to do with my good people who have taken their time to come to church? Is this just church talk and then we walk out the door and there's a disconnect between what happens here and what happens there? But I believe in the glory of God, not just to take place in these walls, but to go with you, to protect you as you drive and in your home and throughout your daily life. That the glory of God is something that goes with us and is in us. The glory of God was demonstrated in the early church with mighty signs and wonders. The casting out of devils, the healing of the sick, delivering people from bondages of sin. You know that we live in an addicted culture. All kinds of addictions, whether they are physiological, psychological, or spiritual. We need the glory of God to come set our culture free from everything that is bounded. Amen. The glory of God. Amen. On March 3rd, I preached on Bring Back the Glory from Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. He gives us instructions about how to prepare the way for the glory of God to come in our lives. Now, I want you to think about this again to see if you are preparing a way for God or if it's just a sermon you heard a couple of weeks ago. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight and the rough places plain. And when John the Baptist came and he preached a pretty tough, challenging message of repentance and getting right with God, he didn't fool around. He said, there's an axe that is being laid to the root of the tree, and every tree that doesn't bring forth good fruit is going to be cut down and thrown in the fire. We like to talk about the Holy Ghost and fire. That's the message John preached. But Holy Ghost is what God does to save you. Fire is what he does to judge you. And if you don't bring forth good fruit that is worthy, the King James, meet for repentance, then there is a removal from us. So God does a couple of things. If we get right with him, then he burns out the junk from our lives, the chaff and that which is bad, and he separates it from us. But if we refuse to repent, then he removes us from his kingdom and his glory. I can tell you this, that I want to be saved from my sins. I want to be saved from hell. I want to be right with God. I want to make sure that I bring forth fruit. I want God to come into my life and raise up every low place, to take down every high place, to straighten out every crooked place, and to take every rough way in my life and make it smooth so God can come in my life. We need to have a life of repentance where we prepare ourselves for the glory of God. And Brother Hernandez repeated this verse last Sunday in his message when he preached a powerful message on repentance, that repentance is not just what we get rid of, it's what we make room for. Repentance is cleaning out so something else can come in. Remember when Jesus cast the devils out of a man, his house was swept and empty, but because he didn't fill it up with the Spirit of God, there were more spirits that came back in. Repentance is the process of creating capacity for God in our lives. It is making room for God to come in and dwell in us. But we have the challenge of cleaning out everything that keeps him out so he can come in. Repentance cleans out so God can come in by the power of his glory. Last review this past Wednesday night. If you weren't here, I hope you watched online or did some makeup work and watched Wednesday or listened to a podcast. I taught on a story of regained glory from 1 Samuel, several chapters, how the Ark of the Covenant was taken by the Philistines. And it's a long, wonderful story that I will not repeat. But Samuel, the prophet, called Israel after 20 years of lamenting after the Lord. And I said this on Wednesday, but I want to repeat it today, that lamenting is not repenting. Lamenting is being sorry for something you don't have. But repenting is preparing yourself so it will come back to you. 20 years, they were sorry that they did not have the presence of God, but they had not prepared for the Lord to come back to Israel in that symbolic power and presence of God that was represented by that box called the Ark of the Covenant. So 1 Samuel 7:3, Samuel gives him instructions. Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord, if you really want to get back to him, then put away the strange gods from among you and Ashtaroth, the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you. He names one of the gods. And prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Now, what we want is deliverance, right? We want to be delivered from sin, from trouble. We want, we want to have power over the devil. But Samuel says, if you want God's power to come back in your life, you've got to do some house cleaning. It's up to you to put away the idols. It's up to you and me to prepare our hearts to the Lord. It's up to me to serve him exclusively or only, because we're not capable of serving God and mammon, or that which the world can bring us in our life, that they can buy. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. When we are submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we have power to resist the devil in every area of our life. We have power over sin. But if you do not submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you are powerless. Here's what I know about the way God works. When you resist God in your life, you have to surrender to the devil. Because you're going to serve someone. Now, you think that you're just going to do your own thing and serve yourself, but you were wired for worship. And you're going to serve someone. You're going to serve a music hero, a movie hero, a sports hero, a money hero. You're going to serve your own self, the God of self. We were wired for worship. And when you worship anything but God, you make room for Satan's power to come in and control you. But when you submit to the authority of God in your life, then you make room for the power of God, and you have authority over the devil. It is a secret weapon of spiritual warfare to submit to the power of God in your life. Amen. If you're not wearing green, pinch yourself right now. Now, we don't believe that we look for the devil behind every rock and in every flat tire. And, those Pentecostals, they're always talking about God and the devil and the Holy Ghost and deliverance. You know, it's because we know that we live in a spirit world. That the physical world is not the superior world. The spiritual world is the superior world. Amen. Elijah and his servant are in a city called Dothan, and they're surrounded by the enemy everywhere. And the servant says, what are we going to do, my master? We're in a heap of trouble. These bad guys are surrounding us, and they're going to take us out. But the prophet prayed that the Lord would open this young man's eyes and he could see. And he saw something that was in a higher world, a more powerful world. He looked in the mountains all around him were filled with the armies of God, the angelic host that had power over all the human power that they were facing in their lives. So while you may be just seeing with natural eyes in the trouble that's coming into your life, and you're frustrated, you can't find peace and happiness, you're always trying to duke it out with the devil in your own power, but I can tell you that the spiritual world is always superior to the physical world, and it is always involved with the spiritual world and the physical world. They always interact. Amen. So while we don't look for the devil behind every flat tire, the Bible said that he is like a roaring lion, and he is seeking whom he may devour. What do predators look for? They look for young animals. They look for wounded or weak animals. They look for strays that have been separated from the flock or the herd. They look for loner animals. And when you are weak, the Bible says that we are to strengthen the feeble knees and the hands that hang down. And then it says that which is lame, lest it be turned out of the way. When you have been hurt, You are vulnerable to be vulnerable to being turned out of the way. When you've been offended, your feelings have been hurt, when you've been abused, when you feel like nobody loves you, when you are wounded and weak, kind of a sprained ankle for a hiker, you are vulnerable to being turned out of the way. Amen. So I want to encourage you today that wherever you are in your life, don't be the kind of person that is an easy prey to the devil. He's looking for wounded, weak, separated people. We have some wonderful new believers in our church, and I commended them the other day. I bragged on them to them. I said, I want to thank you for coming to church faithfully, because this I have learned. If you will keep coming to church, even when you don't feel like it, even when you're hurt, even when you're tempted, even when you fail, if you will keep coming to church, you will find the resources from the Bible, from the Holy Ghost, from other people that will get you connected and will strengthen you. The devil is seeking whom he may devour, but I'm going to stay connected to God's flock. I'm going to make sure that I get healed from my hurts and that I strengthen my weaknesses. Amen. It is one thing to lament the loss of glory. We can be sorry that it left our lives. That when we come to church, we can't find a praise on our lips. I just happened to stand in the back for a couple minutes today, and it looked like, you know, a few people like little wooden Indians there in church, you know. You come to a church where we believe that you can express yourself in worship. You just so you know, you have permission to open your mouth and lift your hands and step out in the aisle or come to the altar for prayer. Amen. This is a fluid environment where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is liberty and freedom for you to get connected with God. Amen. The Apostle Paul's prayer. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. My goal today is to inspire you. I hope I can inspire you to make room for the glory of God. I want you to reflect for just a moment about a time in your life when you were so connected to God that time stood still. When the presence of the Lord flowed over you in such an amazing way that you knew you could face tomorrow, you could face your troubles, you could face your enemies, that you knew that God was with you and you didn't care who was against you because you knew you had God on your side. I want you to think about a time in your life when you were so connected to him that you were not worried about what was coming against you. That was the time of the glory of God in your life. And I'm praying that God would help us hunger and thirst after that glory to come back among us. To make room for glory. Psalm 24 is such an amazing psalm, and I won't go through the first six verses of this psalm about who's going to get in his holy place. You've got to cleanse your heart to do that. That's repentance. That's what Brother Hernandez ministered last Sunday. But then you see a figure, and it goes like this. It appears that this call and response psalm deals with an army. They were in Jerusalem, and they went into the temple and they got the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was a visible representation of the invisible power of God. And when the Ark went, they believed that God went with them. Now, I taught about this this past Wednesday night, but you can't presume upon that. But they believed that where the Ark went, God went. So they took God with them and they went out into battle. And it must have gone good. Amen. This powerful God went with them into battle, and there was a victory. We don't know the details, but we can assume from reading this psalm that it was an overwhelming victory. Amen. The Bible tells us that he causes us always to triumph in Christ Jesus. Amen. That he will bruise Satan under our feet shortly. Amen. That there is no one that can be against us if God is for us. So I'm glad to report to you that you don't ever have to be defeated. You don't ever have to fall. You don't ever have to fail God as long as you keep him with you in your life. As long as you've got glory with you, you've got God with you. There's a long parade of triumphant warriors, and they're coming back to the city of Jerusalem. And as they approach the city, they start spying the gates. They're looking at the gates. Now, the walls have been torn down and rebuilt over the years, but at one time, the walls were some like 39 feet tall. And if you look at pictures of the city gates of Jerusalem, they would dwarf a man or woman standing there. And so when they left Jerusalem to go into battle, they carried the Ark of the Covenant out of the city with them, and they went into battle. But when they got into battle, they realized just what they had. Someone said that you'll never know that God is all you need until God is all you have. And I've learned that when I am down to nothing, that God is up to something in my life, that he is a mighty, powerful God. They take God into battle. They go out against their enemies. And while they are there, God fights for them. And they whip up on their enemies. And there is a strong victory for them. So God came out of those gates. But now it's time for God to come back in. And they look at God. You can't see God, but they saw him in battle. They saw the effects of a God that big, and they know how great he is. And they look at God, and then they look at the gates. And they said, there's no way a God this big is going to get in a gate that small. So they start singing to the gates. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up. You everlasting doors, your gates are too small for a God this great. And if you want God to come in, you're going to have to make room. You've got to increase your capacity. That's what I'm preaching about in the month of March, that God desires to let there be glory in the church. He's a God that's bigger than your problems. He's a God that's bigger than your sin. He's bigger than your sickness. He's bigger than your trouble. And if you will enlarge your capacity for him, he will come in. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. And from inside the city, you know, this is a call and response song. And so they ask, who is this King of glory? Who is he? And they say, he is the Lord. Strong and mighty. He's the Lord, mighty in battle. We saw his majesty as a gold-covered box. We understand that God dwells between the cherubim. He's the God in church. And he seemed pretty good in church. But why is it that we believe that God is bigger in church than he is in the battle? Why is he bigger here than he is out there? I've learned that you really only put God to the test when you take him outside of the sanctuary and you take him to work with you. You take him home with you. You take him wherever you go. That's where God shows himself strong on your behalf. You've got to get him out of the gates and get him into the battle. Some of our dearest friends are Bruce and Diane Howell, Global Missions Director of the United Pentecostal Church. We've known them since we were all very young. We're praying for Sister Howell. She's battling ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. Brother and Sister Howell have seen miraculous demonstration of God's power all over the world, in El Salvador, Central America, and wherever they travel. He was used to miraculously see healing in Brother B.S. Cole, our former superintendent, who died not that long ago. One time, Brother and Sister Howell were driving down the roads of El Salvador. This was back during the war. I'd been there preaching and hear bombs go off and hear machine gun fire off in the distance, and I wondered why I was there. They lived there. Their house was riddled with bullets in one of the attacks by the terrorists. So they're driving down the road, and the rebels had just done this. This was a habit that's done all over the world. They set big boulders in the road because whoever would see that would stop, and then they would ambush the car, kill or rob or whatever they had on their mind. So Brother and Sister Howell lived in El Salvador. They knew how it rolled there. And when they saw those rocks in the road, they knew that if they stopped, they would be killed. So as they approached those rocks, they just cried out to the name of Jesus. And Brother Howell, who I know and trust and believe, he said the greatest thing that ever happened, he said our car flew over those rocks and settled down on the other side. I'm telling you that you'll never see God any bigger than when you take him home with you. When you get him out of the gates and out into your life, out into your everyday life. I was just reminded of a story years ago in the Philippines. Brother Mallory was there. There were rebels there. They came into a church service and they began to shoot with their machine guns at the people that were worshiping them. They actually had the clothes of those Filipinos with bullet holes in the clothes, and the people did not die. You said, that's crazy stuff. No, that's God stuff. That's like throwing the three Hebrew children in the fire. Hey, you said that stuff only happens back then. That stuff only happens at an altar. No, that stuff happens when you take God with you out of the gates and into the battle. I believe the story of the three Hebrew young men who were thrown into a burning fiery furnace that was heated up seven times hotter because they would not bow to their cultural gods. And God delivered them out of the fire. Their clothes did not smell like smoke. Their hair was not singed. And when they looked into the fire, they said, did we not throw three into the fire? But there's a fourth man in the fire. He appears Son of God. I want to tell you that God is still in the fire. He's still in the pagan culture. He's still at work among his people. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. They ask again, who is this King of glory? And they say, verse 10, he's the Lord of hosts. If you read a more modern translation, it will say the Lord of angel armies. Angel armies. The Assyrians were attacking Israel. Sennacherib was their general. And the Lord dispatched a single angel. And in the night, he executed 186,000 enemy soldiers, one angel, in one night. I know that sounds mighty brutal to you, but the Bible is a book of battles. Satan against God. Satan's people against God's people. Amen? And we ought to wake up and know that this is not a picnic. It is a battle. It is a war zone. This earth is a war zone between heaven and hell. And it is your soul that is at stake and on the line. And hell is fighting for you. And heaven is fighting for you. And I'm glad to know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He's the God of angel armies, and he's always on my side. Amen. He's the Lord, strong and mighty. He's the Lord, mighty in battle. He's the Lord of angel armies. And because he is strong and mighty, because he's mighty when you get him out of church and into the battlefield of life, because of that, he's worthy of an enlarged entrance in our lives. He's worthy of us opening the capacity for God in our lives, cleaning out the junk, making room for God, opening ourselves to a visitation of the glory of God. Be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors. We know they were not calling for a literal construction project so the gates would get bigger, but only when you see God in action do you realize that sometimes our God is too small. God is not too small. Our God is too small. We think that he's not capable of the supernatural in 2019, but I can tell you that he is. He's the warrior king. Let me just share a few things with you that I won't display on the screens, but he teaches our hands to war. He gives us a shield of salvation. He helps us pursue our enemies and overtake them. He wounds them. They've fallen under our feet. He girds us with strength under the battle. He subdues those under us that are against us. He has given us the necks of our enemies that we can destroy them that hate us. He's a God that says in his word that one shall put 1,000 to flight and two shall put 10,000 to fight. He's a God that plagued Egypt with the 10 plagues. He's a God that opened the Red Sea, and then he knocked the wheels off Pharaoh's chariots so that they drove them in the bottom of the sea, and then he covered them back up. And then the Bible said that the Lord has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has he thrown into the sea. That's the kind of God we serve. He does the impossible to us. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You know, we love the image of the walls of Jericho, tall, wide, impenetrable walls that the people of Israel cannot do anything against. But God does what we cannot do when we obey his voice. So they march around and the whole story of Jericho, and our God is the God who makes the walls fall flat, blowing with the trumpet, shouting triumphantly to God, and the walls fall down flat so they can go in and accost and defeat their enemies. Joshua chapter 10, a story that I can't wrap my brain around. They're fighting the Amorites. And Joshua knows that there's not enough daylight left. They're winning. And so he just stands there and says, "Sun, stand still. Moon, stop." Now I've tried to imagine the law of inertia. The earth does not stand still. I don't know how the sun stands still. I understand the earth is revolving, right? Spinning and revolving around the sun, but a revolution every 24 hours or whatever exactly it is, 24 hours. I don't know what happened that day astronomically, but I know the Bible says that it didn't get dark. Joshua could fight, but he couldn't make daylight be extended. It was better than daylight savings time. The Bible said that the sun did not go down for an extended period of time until Joshua destroyed all of the enemy. The Bible tells us another time in Judges chapter 5 that the stars in their courses fought against Sisera and the river swept them away. I taught about it recently that when Samuel and the people of Israel, I taught on it Wednesday night, were fighting the Philistines, that the Lord thundered from heaven and a great storm came and destroyed their adversary. He is not just a God who works in little ways. He's a God that controls nature in every facet of the entire universe. There is nothing too hard for him. That's why I say today, lift up your heads, oh you gates. Come on, child of God, enlarge your ability, your capacity for God. Lift up your heads, oh you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And if you will enlarge your capacity for God, he will come in. He will come in. So we've got to get the gates taller and wider. We've got to increase our capacity for God. Sometimes we say, you know, I need a lot more God in my life. Well, that's not true, really. You may need a lot more God, but what really needs to happen is God needs a lot more of you. God needs a lot more of me. You see, he's a really big God. He does all those things I just preached about, and he's trying to come into our lives. In Revelation 3:20, he said, I stand at the door and knock. But it's like the latch is on the inside. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. That's what Jesus said in Revelation 3:20. So he is standing at the door, ready to come into our lives. But the problem is we've got a little skinny door. We've got a really low gate. And the amount of time that we give God in our lives, the amount of room we give God in our lives is so small that we can only squeeze in like a dime's worth of God, a quarter worth of God. Enough God to just feel a little good every once in a while, but not enough of God to heal the blinded eyes and to deliver those that are demon-possessed, to deliver people from drug addiction and alcohol addiction and pornography. We need a God that is a lot bigger than just a little feeling on a Sunday morning. We need a God that's big enough to fight our battles. So lift up your heads, oh you saints. Enlarge your capacity for God. If hurt has shriveled your heart, I encourage you to forgive those who wounded you. And hope in God again. Forgiveness enlarges your capacity for God. And there's a lot of people that are holding on to bitterness, and they are holding off a visitation of God. Because he clearly tells us in his word that if you do not forgive those who have wounded and offended you, that he will not forgive you of your trespasses. So there are sins that are locked up in you that God is ready to forgive when you release to other people who have wronged you in your life. If you want to know why you can't get a breakthrough, maybe it's because of unforgiveness and bitterness that has got you all bound up. But if you will release those that have wronged you, God will forgive you and he will give you power to deal with the wounds in your life. If the cares and pressures of life have choked God out, you're so busy, you don't know how you're so busy. How do we ever get to this period of time in our lives when we should have more discretionary time than ever before, with every modern convenience possible that has ever existed in the history of the world? And we know that society is progressive and inventions and all of that, but yet we're busier, we have less time for God because we make less time for God. It's like the big rocks that don't go in first, and there's never room for the big rocks of the things that really matter in our lives. It's time to do some radical pruning to trim away the things that really do not lend themselves to a visitation of the King of Glory. If the evil all around you has started to get in you, the Bible said because iniquity would abound in our last day world, that the love of many people would wax or grow cold. That's why, of all the places to come into the sanctuary and to find it hard to get a praise out, indicates a shriveled heart, a choked out spiritual life. And I'm not just wanting it to happen in here so we can say we had a good church service. people responded, and I can say good job or bad job, and I can critique my preaching. That's not what this is about. This is about a God who is locked down by the small mentality of his people in 2019. And God is wanting to get out of the city and into the battle. If the voice of compromise and false religion has caused confusion in your life, it's time to get back to the Bible and believe God. Take him at his word in a larger capacity for God. For when the King of Glory comes in, he comes in with all of his power and his might. There's nothing too hard for him. There's nothing that you're facing that he cannot give you power to overcome, to deliver you from. He is a bigger God than you've ever imagined him to be. I cannot preach him big enough to really brag on him too much. I cannot exaggerate the greatness of God. When I get finished talking about his greatness, he's still greater than the greatest accolades that we can ever give him. Jesus said, this is what I've come to do. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. It's amazing how abused people are bound by the abuser and by the abuse. But he's come to set at liberty people that have been bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Not a day of condemnation, but a day of redemption and healing and deliverance. And Jesus Christ is here today to do that for you. Haven't you suffered long enough? Haven't you been cold in your spirit long enough? Isn't it about time that we got God out of these walls and into our world? Repentance is a change of mind, heart and life direction away from sin and toward God. Repentance is the number one way I know to create capacity in my life for God. It is taking out the trash of my life and opening myself up to the glory of God. Repentance prepares you for the glory of God. And then when you turn from not just your sins, when you change your mind about God's role in your life, and you begin to have faith in God to believe that he can do anything, faith unharnesses the power of God. That you believe that there is nothing too hard for God, that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Have faith. And then obey whatever the Spirit of God prompts you to do. And obey immediately. Would you bow your heads, please, just for a moment? The worship team is coming. I'm asking you right now to invite Jesus Christ with all of his glory and all of his power to come into your life, to come into your home, to transform this church and this environment so that his glory would come back in. Repentance is a change of mind, but it is verbalized, it is confessing, forsaking. So we're going to pray in just a moment. Hallelujah. Let's lift our voices right now and pray. Don't be awkward in this moment. I feel confident in what Jesus is getting ready to do. Hallelujah. Would you just make this message your prayer right now? Lord, I want to make room for the glory of God. I want to make room in my life, Lord, for you to show up in physical healing and forgiveness. Lord, show up in my life, I pray, with power over temptation. Lord, show up in my life, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, would you please look this way? We're going to take him home and take glory into our world. But right now, I believe that he wants to show up with glory here. Walls of Jericho, remember the story I referred to today. The Lord did not say, after you march around 7 times on that 7th day, that I want you to whisper, walls fall down. Jesus said, I want you to shout. The last thing I want to ever do is manipulate the power of God. But here's what I know about us, is that as long as we clam up, as long as we hold in, as long as we give way to our own reticence, as long as we give in to our introspective nature, our quietness, our shyness, as long as we give in to that intimidating spirit of Satan in our lives, it just kind of closes us down to God. When I was too young to know better, I was praying with my friend Rick at the Florida youth camp. Rick's family was new at our church, and he was down at the altar of the Florida youth camp praying to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Rick, even then, was a strong young man. He's hurt me so many times playing tackle football. He enjoyed every second of it. But here was big, strong Rick. Praying like this. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I wasn't a preacher. I don't even remember. I was probably about 15 years old, maybe 16. I stopped Rick, like one guy to another. I said, Rick, you're never going to get the Holy Ghost like that. Real tactfully. It was very diplomatic. You're never going to get the Holy Ghost like that. Oh, yeah? So you can't just, you know, like, you can't do that. You're not going to receive the Holy Ghost praying like that. You've got to open your heart to God. You've got to lift up your voice to God. You've got to really go after it. We were pretty good friends, you know? So he was like, oh, yeah? Not going to keep me from getting the Holy Ghost. So Rick is probably mad at me a little bit, which was fine, you know? He started opening his heart to God and lifting up his voice. Oh, that's psychology. Psychology is psychology, but the Bible is theology, and it's the spiritual dimension always trumps the natural dimension every time. But you've got to get out of yourself and your pride and your North American logic, and you've got to see how God works. So I'm supposed to be more diplomatic and kind now, but I want to get in your face just a little bit today like I did Rick's, and I'm going to challenge you. We're going to stand to our feet. And we're going to give glory to God. And let's express to him from the depth of our soul. Lift up your voice. Lift up your hands. Lift up your heart. Jesus, release power and healing and glory and deliverance.